Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay. Hi, I'm Matt, the host of Lost Library and your game master here on Grayscale. You can find me on Twitter, at Matt Hoadley, and you can find all of my projects at fifthstraw.com.
Hi, my name is Alice Joram, and I play Aisha Eidolon, your ghost friend. You can find me on Twitter at Alice Joram, and my portfolio on ArtStation at artstation.com/AliceJoram. If you own a VR headset, you can play my game on Steam. Look for The Red Stare. It's free.
Hey, I'm Emmeline, or Emma, and you can find me on Twitter at Of Hauntings.
Hey, I'm Joe. I play on Bainbridge. You can find me on Twitter at TheJoeHadfield. I also do a podcast with Travis called WTF Anime.
Hi, I'm Travis, and today I'll be playing Cole Cameron.
You can also find me on Twitter at DiceLobbard.
So there is a blinding flash of light for all four of you, and when you open your eyes, you are standing on the curb of a street. You're out in what looks kind of like a rich part of town up by the North River. Everything is still that kind of washed out, kind of gray, blue color scheme. Behind you is that long, all-white limousine. Leaning up against the front of it, up on the hood, is your chauffeur driver, who's just kind of absentmindedly humming a song. And in front of you is a big Victorian-style house. How are you four doing?
So the first thing that Owen does, he rubs at his face, and rather than what most people would assume tears, like just wiping away, like he's wiping off like flecks of frost. And he immediately spins around to the three hunters and just kind of addresses them. And okay, is everyone all right?
I'm fine. You guys look terrible.
Yeah, I think Friday has like tears like streaming down her face, and it looks like she's been crying, but like her like expression doesn't really look like she's been crying. It's just like her eyes, and she's. So she's, like, wiping away the tears and trying to, like, get them to stop flowing. She's like, I think I'm okay. I don't know why I'm crying. I think I'm okay.
Do you remember what you saw? I saw some pretty interesting things. I imagine we all did.
Something happens. I definitely did something in there. I guess I passed the test.
Yeah, did you have an actual test?
He told me I was taking a test, for sure.
Okay, I was also told I was taking a test, but it wasn't really a test.
I cannot remember a single thing after he told me we were taking a test. I have to assume I passed, right?
Probably.
Yeah. Whatever happened in there, you made the right choice. You beat it. And now you're here. Okay?
She starts wiping away tears again. Okay, yep.
Aisha would like to offer Friday a hug.
Oh, she'll accept it, for sure. For sure.
It's probably really cold.
Yeah. But weirdly, it feels like this isn't the first time that she's hugged a ghost.
Aw.
And actually, surprisingly, Friday, it doesn't feel as cold as interacting with Aisha has previously. In fact, that same feeling that Friday had of feeling kind of like super solid. Owen, and Cole all feel that way. Aisha, you don't feel super solid. Well, okay. I guess for Aisha, you feel super solid. To everyone else, though, you just feel like solid like a normal person. So Emma and Friday, like, there's no Friday, it feels like you're hugging a person. Like, a living, like, fully embodied person.
Whoa. You have, like, substance. She's kind of, like, touching her arm, like trying to kind of testing it. Like, whoa.
Wait, I have flesh? That's poking herself. Aisha tries to like floop her hand through the car like she normally would be able to do.
It bounces off.
Whoa. What?
Holy shit.
Huh? The chauffeur hops up from the hood and walks over to y'all, and if an unseeable face kind of hidden in shadows can look a little troubled, that's what this guy looks like right now. And he's just like, Aisha, you're in the spirit realm now, so, you know, spirit beings are the normal. It's what physics are built around here, so you're gonna be kind of like just a normal person. And you three are super normal?
I think I can do super normal once in my life. I can take that.
Can I still fly?
You can. You'll have to concentrate pretty hard on it.
Okay. I'll be honest, I barely really know how doors work. So this is going to be an experience.
Thankfully, you've got these three who have dealt with doors their whole lives.
Aisha turns to Cole and Friday, and with this the most earnest expression on her face, she asks, "Can you help me with doors?"
Oh, yeah.
At this point, since no one's bothered to check in, Cole has just been staring at the ground wide-eyed and not actually acknowledging anything anybody has said. He's just staring at the ground, smoking a cigarette.
I tried, buddy. He will, Owen will kind of walk up to Cole and like put an arm over his shoulder and look at the Reaper, lowercase r. So what are you actually doing here?
I was expecting to be met by one of my compatriots, but that plan seems to have fallen completely out of the window. And he pulls back the sleeve of his chauffeur jacket, and there is a super ornate watch on his bony skeletal wrist, except there's not a watch face on it. It's more or less like an astrolabe set up as a sundial. And he's just like looking at it and just goes, listen, I'm real sorry. Time runs differently. Y'all were kind of gone for about a day.
A day? I guess I don't remember any of it, so.
Aw, heck. I had a Destiny raid scheduled. It's fine.
Matt, what day was it that we were in the diner?
Let's say a Saturday.
Okay. Oh,
you didn't get a sub.
Yeah.
The school is going to have questions.
They already do.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm pretty sure the school just assumes that there's like a 90% chance Owen's not going to be there.
That's so bad.
Yep.
It's impressive that they keep paying you. You must have some amazing blackmail material on this people.
I just really believe the principal kind of gets what Port Avalon's whole deal is and just like, whatever. You're keeping kids
it
safe.
It just has
it's
like
fine.
Hyper tenure. It's not regular tenure. It's hyper tenure.
Yeah. He just kind of scratches his head and just goes, so all that being said, because I don't think we were really supposed to be in transit that long. I'm real sorry about whatever happened to y'all, because I mean, with the exception of Aisha, it seems like it was kind of rough. The boss has been in a bit of a mood. Listen, all right, here's the deal. Someone's been poaching ghosts.
Like,
what?
Like people poach zebras at the zoo?
Yeah. All right, so there's a thing has been happening for a couple of centuries now. So there's the material world that y'all live on. There's this, the spiritual world, that's more or less just supposed to be a way station. You get here if you have any unsolved business, you solve it and move on with yourself. And then there's the eternal world, that's kind of the place where angels and demons live and has, you know, your heavens and your hells and whatnots. And, well, that part of the cycle is a bit shut and has been kind of closed off for a while. We've been dealing with it, but souls that pass on just kind of go and are in transit somewhere between the two, and it's kind of weird, but some ghosts are being magically forced down that pipe. And we figured some hunters might be able to solve this problem for us.
Matt, yes? Is there a role I can make in all of my training to know, like, what the spiritual essence or ghosts might be used for in something less than savory?
Ooh, yes. Okay, it's gonna be probably investigate a mystery.
Okay, huh. Better have a plus to this.
It's usually plus, I think it's plus sharp.
Yeah, plus sharp. Cool. So I rolled pretty bad, but I have plus one sharp, so I got a 7.
Okay, so partial success. Cool. So you want to know what they can be what the spiritual essence of a ghost could be used for?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know that, like, when you boil it right down, like, it's more complicated than this, but when you boil it right down, a ghost is just kind of the spiritual energy of a person that's still kind of contained by their identity. The key phrase here is spiritual energy.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically just super batteries. And it's very, very, very hard to do, but if a practitioner can get a hold of a ghost, they can use it to power some pretty nasty rituals. And I think probably in your time working with the knights, you probably at least, like, heard about some of your companions breaking up an entrapment ring or something like that, and... Mm. You know that the knights themselves had more than one contained ghost, like an entrapped ghost, because there's not really a safe way to release them from the entrapment spells. Like, you just either drain the power and use it for something, or it just kind of melts down if you try to let it out any other way. It's not a healthy branch of magic.
Yeah. Okay. Hmm. And all of the kind of rings that would have been broken up, that at least he knows of, would the militant be involved in any of those?
Ooh.
I don't get a second question. I'm just kind of clarifying for Owen's memory.
No. Yeah. When you say involved in, do you mean, like, participate in, or would they have been what broke it up?
No, for the Magister's Militant, like, his assumption is they would be the ones involved in that sort of thing.
They would certainly see the value in it, but they were more likely to, like, find someone who's doing it, let them, like, hide that information from the rest of the knights, let them finish the ritual, and then storm in and just take the contained ghost to use themselves.
Okay.
Cool. Why waste all that effort when they can let someone else take the risk and then just kill them?
Yep, that sounds about right.
Stealing them Energon cubes.
So, while they would certainly be interested in them, they would not likely be actively involved in producing an entrapped ghost.
Cool.
Can I ask a question? Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you go first.
I just wanted to refresh my memory. Do we know that the, like, gates to heaven and stuff have been closed? Like, that's not new information, or...
Aisha knows.
Or, like, do our characters know? Because, like, I know I've known, but I forget.
Not every character knows. You might know just because you're friends with Minnie and Molly, and
right.
Minnie has seen the closed gates of heaven. Mm-hmm.
I also thought maybe Ben might have said something, or it would have gotten through
that way.
Oh, Ben
probably did say something to Friday about that.
Mm-hmm. Might have happened in the first episode. I don't remember.
Yeah, Friday knows. One way or another, Friday probably knows.
Gotcha. Good to know.
Okay. Aisha?
My question was, you talked about ghost hunting rings, and has anything like that ever come after Aisha?
No. No. I think partially because there are some organizations that operate in Port Avalon that nowadays kind of keep your existence under wraps. And mm-hmm. I think before that, your father was ensuring that you were kept under wraps.
Okay, that makes sense. One of those is completely news to her.
Yeah, one of those is acting altruistically towards you. One of those is not.
Yes.
Well, all right, any other questions?
I was just going to say, me and Aisha can bond over a shitty dad club.
All right, Reaper, little R Reaper, is gonna just kind of be, this here, and he gestures behind him to the house. This is what we call our local way station. Any Port Avalon souls that aren't who still maintain their sense of self and aren't bound to a specific location, we bring them here. There's kind of an infinite amount of space as needed within the walls there. It's kind of specialty built, things like that. Any ghost that doesn't retain their sense of self, we don't really keep them here. Just kind of boot them out because we don't really want phantasms running around. But
communal housing, that's nice.
It's we try. If we didn't provide them something like this, there'd just be ghosts kind of everywhere, and nowadays that doesn't really fly with mortals, so we try to help them out as best we can. We were supposed to be met by somebody. This is real weird. Tell you what, why don't you four poke around? I'm gonna make a call real fast. See what's up with my compadre. Wander around. If you find anybody, ask them some questions. Try to just kind of figure out what's going on here, all right?
Just quick, before you go, can stuff that we brought here or other powers that some people might have actually affect anything in this world?
You get that same kind of feeling before where he looked, like, concerned. Now he looks just kind of like, you get the feeling he's smiling at you. And he just goes, yeah. The way we brought y'all means everything you have works here.
Okay. And Owen will finally look down at this dope-ass sword that he has.
I want you to describe this dope-ass sword.
Okay, so... the kind of length and width of it suggests it's kind of like a broadsword. It is currently in a green leather scabbard with kind of silver decals. The hilt and crossguard are kind of like an ivory white of roses kind of twisting. So it's like rose vines from the hilt up to the crossguard, where the crossguard ends in... like white roses. He hasn't drawn it yet. There might be something later. I'm hoping there's something later. But yeah, that's kind of like him kind of looking down and like analyzing the sword.
All right.
Well, have you had that rad sword the whole time?
No. Remember the whole test thing?
Oh, I don't think I got anything from my test.
Well, you know, it must be different for other people.
I mean, I have plenty of swords, but I would have liked another one. All I got was some letters.
It's special. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Yeah, so what do we want to do with this house? Do we just knock on the door?
Well, if there's folks being poached, might be best to kind of ask around. Maybe.
Yes, so we knock on the door?
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's introduce you into how doors work. So,
please do.
You see this big structure. Sometimes there's like a little kind of metal bit in about the center, about eye line. You can rap on that, or you can make a fist and then knock on it. There is a handle at about waist height that if it's not locked, you can just open it like that. But since we're being polite, probably best to knock.
I know what a handle is. I just haven't really used them. But thank you.
I really didn't want to be patronizing. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. You were a little bit, but I understand. It was kind of funny.
That's the teacher in me coming out.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Can I try it? I'm kind of excited to try it.
Please.
Okay. So you three are going to walk up. Cole, so the Reaper kind of puts his hand out as those three walk by and just kind of like taps you on the shoulder.
I'll turn and look at him.
You all right there?
I think at this point, Cole is going to punch the Reaper in the face.
I like that Cole had all this time to stew. Owen was being very nice, putting his arm over him and just like talking Aisha through some shit. And then, yeah, punch a dude in the face. Love it.
Yep.
Okay.
Cole, teens are emotional. They're not necessarily good at expressing or dealing with said emotions.
Yeah. I mean, no, fair. Okay, so you're not going to have to roll for this. You're just going to take a swing at a Reaper.
Yeah, I already promised that I was going to punch Red in the face for this.
I mean, that's not who this is, but sure.
It's a stand-in, it's fine.
Cool. So, you swing at him, and your fist goes into the shadowy void where his face should be, and then just kind of keeps going in, and you kind of realize and like blink and look at your arm for a second and realize that like up to your elbow is just kind of gone into some void under the hat. And the Reaper just kind of like coughs politely and just goes, you feel better? You want to take that out of there? What are we doing?
Yeah. And Cole will take his fist back and, I guess, follow along, it's dejected that he couldn't vent his rage.
It's very tingly, and as your arm is, it's very tingly, and as you're walking away, the Reaper calls after you and just goes, "Look, I get it, but wait and vent all that anger on whatever's doing things to the nice ghost, all right, Cole?"
And he's just going to keep walking towards the house to catch up and put up a middle finger as he walks away, not even looking back.
Teens.
Very good.
Did we hear any of that?
I don't know. I don't think either of them were really trying to keep it quiet.
Okay.
Might have been explaining doors at the time.
Yeah.
I mean,
Aisha wasn't paying attention.
I guess that's fair. Yeah.
So as Cole walks up to join y'all, if any of y'all look back to the street, you'll notice that the limo's gone.
Fun. Good. Perfect.
So, what did I miss?
I'm about to knock on a door.
Who?
What? I'm about to knock on the door. It's a door.
I'll be honest with you, I was not paying attention.
Well, we need to find out stuff about this house and who has been kidnapping people. And the people inside might know, so I'm going to knock on the door and we will be polite and not float in through a window.
Oh, so we know why we're here then?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Do you want to be filled in?
I'll wing it.
Okay, if you're sure. Knock, knock, knock. Hold on.
Oh, very good Foley work.
With the Foley, yeah.
You hear a bit of rustling from inside the house, and you hear like a deadbolt get clacked back, and then another deadbolt get clacked back, and then a chain get rattled, and then two more quick clacks, and then the door swings open inside the house, and there is nothing there.
Greetings, fellow ghosts.
Oh, there's this tiny little voice, and all four of y'all, if you look down by the door, can see the ghost of a young girl standing there. It's looking up and goes, oh, are you a new person?
Yeah, we are. Hello, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Marie.
It's very nice to meet you, Marie.
It's nice to meet you, Miss...
I'm Aisha, and these are my friends.
Hello, Miss Aisha and Miss Aisha's friends.
Hi.
Please introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Friday. Nice to meet you, Maria.
She steps kind of out from behind the door and just kind of like just a big smile, and she curtsies real deeply at you and says, hello, Miss Friday.
Oh, she's cute.
She's so heckin' adorable. I'm Owen.
She curtsies. Hello, Mr. Owen.
And I'll get down on my haunches so that I'm picturing a much shorter person than what any of us would be.
About
this
eight.
Is like little kid, right?
Yeah,
about eight. Okay. So I'll stoop down, put my hand out, Cole.
And she goes to curtsy and then like stops and just looks at you and just like bites her lip and just goes, hi, Mr. Cole. I'm people have said not to shake hands with people who have bad people in their heads.
That's solid advice.
Question mark?
Yes.
She's curtsying.
Uh-huh.
I've studied this sort of thing. What time period is she from? Can I identify like the court and country and time period by the curtsy?
Okay.
What accent does her curtsy have?
Yes. Okay, roll me a plus sharp real fast.
Okay. Plus sharp. Let's see, my sharp is 0.
You're going to kind of get a bonus to this anyways because you have studied it a lot.
I rolled a 5.
I'm glad you're getting a bonus to this. Okay, 1 second while I look this up. That's...
Mm-hmm. For the listeners, Matt did not realize that if he placed a small girl from a bygone era, that he would get quizzed on it.
I mean...
It's the grayscale cast, asking the hard-hitting, tough questions.
Mm-hmm. You know, you'd think, okay, cool. That's what was up. So, Aisha, this is all just wrong.
Uh-huh.
Her dress is mid-century American. So, you know, kind of 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Her accent is a little bit more modern,
mm-hmm.
kind of higher end modern though, like on the wealthier side of things, most likely probably had prep school education maybe for like a year. The curtsy is from roughly the time period of the court of King George III of England. And so all of this is just not jiving to be like an actual person.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. Aisha just, after her friends introduce themselves, kind of stays back and frowns.
All right.
Friday's in love with this girl.
Good. Good. I was hoping someone would be.
So is there like a master of the house that we could speak to? We've we're on a bit of a job. Might be best to speak to someone in seniority.
Oh, I'm the only one here anymore.
You're the only one here?
Anymore.
How many of there were you?
Oh, man, there were like, well, I can only count this many, and she holds out all of her fingers.
Oh, baby.
And there was more than that. Like, I think one time I used all my toes and there were still more.
Where'd they all go?
Oh, I ate them.
Huh.
Oh, great.
Uh-huh. And you guys are the hunters, right?
Owen straightens his lapels and... Yep, and I'm really sorry you just chose this visage. It's pretty smart on your end, I guess.
I know, I was warned.
Can I ask by who?
Aisha is taking out her sword.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know that'll do you any good because I'm going to eat you.
Then just humor me. You're going to eat me anyway.
Oh, you're a clever one, Owen. Wait, you're Mr. Owen. You're the knight, right?
No, you must have been misinformed.
Aw, I wanted to eat one of the knights. Those militant dudes are not very tasty. Huh. Okay. Well, And she looks like she's considering it. Owen, I need you to do another roll for me. There's a specific one for this. It's called manipulate somebody.
Oh, I'm, you know, Owen does that a lot.
How charming is Owen?
He's all... Boy, is he a charming boy. Yup, he's a charming boy. 11.
Okay.
Nice.
So tell me how you charm this not adorable child.
I think he's going to play it this exact same way he's going to do. Look, you're powerful enough that you've eaten every ghost that was supposed to be in this building. You know, what's four more? And if you want to do us right by, you know, us passing on, you might as well at least divulge something. Someone has to know how and why you did it before you take him to a grave. Or
and
beyond.
She just puts her hands on her shoulder, on her hips, and looks at you and just goes, "You make a lot of sense, Mr. Owen. Okay, well..." And she starts to kind of morph a little bit, and standing in her place is a just kind of a tall, gangly looking young woman, hair long and kind of some greasy clumps, tattered dress. And she just goes, "Well, so this guy, kind of bossy. And real conceited, just real conceited. Wearing a priest collar."
Nope.
He showed up to my little haunt and gave me this really great orb. And said if I brought it here and I switched out the communication stone they had been using with that, then it would let me just start eating people. And, you know, I thought it would be good because I've eaten a ghost before, and man, you get a rush from eating a soul. Just that whole identity dying. Oh, my God. But I didn't feel any of that. It was real weird. It was like they were going somewhere else when I started to tread them. And then they told me that you four were going to be showing up and that I had to make sure the Reaper was unconscious. So I did that. And now I'm going to eat you.
Fair. Counterpoint. I mean, I guess we just, like, kill you and scatter your soul ashes to the wind.
Well, I mean, you could do that. Or counterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to need all of y'all to make a strength roll.
Roll initiative.
Mm-hmm. No, this one is just a strength roll.
What's strength, Matt?
Tough?
Oh, tough, yes.
Let me get it.
Sorry, I've just been doing a lot of D&D recently, so my stats are a little just out of whack.
I got a 9.
Okay.
I got a 5 plus 2, 7.
Okay.
I got an 11.
And, like a rock star, Cole ends up with a 6.
Oh, good. Okay. So now first, tell me where you all were, because the little girl was inside the hall a little bit.
Yeah, I wanted to do a thing while she was monologuing.
Okay.
Which was the Reaper told me I could still fly if I focused.
Uh-huh.
So Aisha was going to try and focus and still be incorporeal and float through the ground and get up behind her and see if that worked. So if that worked, that's where she is.
It can totally have worked, Aisha, if you're willing to spend a luck on it. Because you have to focus real hard.
She'll spend one luck.
Okay. So, yeah, you are behind the now not little girl. Emma, yeah. Where were you?
Sword pointed at her back.
I think Friday was kind of, like, to the side of the door. Like, not directly in front of it, just a little bit to the side.
But still outside?
Yeah, outside.
Okay. Owen?
I guess since he was the one doing the talking, Owen is probably, like, directly in front of the door frame. And, like, as he says the line of, you know, we'll scatter your soul ashes. He is drawing a sword.
Okay, we're going to get you to describe the blade here in a second.
Hell yeah.
Cole?
Yes?
You had kneeled down and extended your hand to her. Does that mean you're inside the door?
Yeah, it does. I was just to the left of Owen when I hunched down.
Good. Okay, so with those results, Owen, you are going to be fine. Like, you're going to feel the effect, but you're just kind of planted. Friday, you're going to get pulled into the house just a little bit, but you're still going to be standing upright. Aisha, as you're coming up out of the floor, you're going to feel the effects of this. You're still going to be upright. You're still going to be behind her. You're just going to be a little bit further back from her than you intended. And Cole, you're going to be yanked deep into the hallway and sprawled on your face a little bit. Because what happened was, effectively, she opened up some sort of massive vacuum chamber at the back of the hall. So just this massive rush of wind just come barreling through the hall. Cole gets tossed deep into the hallway. Aisha, as she's coming up out of the floor, gets sucked back a little bit. Friday gets pulled into the house a little bit, but still standing. And Owen, as you're drawing your sword and, like, planting yourself against this wind, the door slams shut in your face.
Hey,
Hey everybody, Matt, your host and DM, popping in here for our mid-episode break. I really hope y'all are enjoying this episode. Honestly, I was a little concerned about being able to follow up last week's episode, but I think this one turned out really great. We got in, you know, we're going to have some combat here in a second, and we had some really good character moments, and I might have dropped a bomb or two at the very end, so stick around for that. Our music, as always, is Agra by Damiano Baldoni off of the album Lost Dynasty, which can be found at the Free Music Archive. Our recaps are done by Renee Rhodes at RadianR on Twitter, and she is the game master over on the Fate and the Fable Maidens podcast, which you should absolutely be listening to. You can find them on Twitter at FateFMcast. For our High Tide recommendation this month, we're still promoting Extra Life, and once again, y'all are going to hear the little interview I did with Travis talking about his team's Extra Life plans. So have fun with that, and we'll see you back here for some fighting. So I'm here with our cast member, Travis, who's here to tell us all about what we're kind of promoting this month for our High Tide recommendation. Travis, what are we talking about?
This month, instead of a podcast, we're backing a charity, and it's one that I've been involved with now for, I want to say, 5 years. That would be Extra Life.
Oh, cool. I've heard a little bit about Extra Life from some charity streams I've seen, but why don't you tell us what Extra Life is all about?
Okay. Extra Life is all about gamers, whether they be tabletop or video, coming together to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network. And I know one of the things that really appealed to me when I first signed up is when you are helping them out, it just, you can dog ear your money. So, like, everything that my local team is doing is going to our local Children's Miracle Network hospital.
Okay, that's a really cool thing. Like, being able to just know where the money you're raising is going, that's a real cool thing that this charity's doing.
Yeah, I always thought it was cool that we got to dog ear it, but since I am here, if you like what we do, I'd like to invite you to, if you're not going to participate, hey, back me. Help raise some money for kids.
So if someone wants to do that, how do they? How do they do that?
Well, if you want to register your own team or you want to donate to me or my team specifically, what you're going to do is go to the website, which is extra-life.org. And from there, if you want to donate to me, you can search me up, Travis Thomas. I'm with Team Critical Success. Or you can log in and register yourself as a participant and do your own thing.
Oh, that's very cool. If you're not going to make a team yourself, please absolutely go back Travis, go support his team. If you want to try to find something that to join that's in your local area, do that. Just Extra Life is a really great way for people in our hobby to share the love around, and that's really cool. So
It is. I want to say once a year they have their huge 24-hour event where you're up the entire time playing games. This year it's on November 3rd, so there's still time to register and get a team together. But if you happen to be in Ohio or just feel like traveling and want to come to All American Cards and Comics in Boardman, Ohio on November 3rd, I will be there 24 hours delirious, rolling dice and mumbling to myself. So come say hi.
Oh, that sounds really cool. Anyone in that area, please go check that out. And, hey, share the love around. Support Extra Life. Support some of these kids.
Yeah. Be excellent to each other.
Everybody, welcome to the Home for Wayward OCs. My name is Christina, and this is a podcast where, every second and fourth Monday of the month, a guest and I talk about our original characters, the good, the bad, and the self-inserts. So, if you're interested in hearing about different original characters people have made up, like a superhero created for a thesis project, an NPC who is destined to die but is still loved, or a blatant Pokemon self-insert on a mission, or if you like tangents about maple syrup and gender politics in media, you can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher, or on Twitter at WaywardOCPod, or through the WaywardOCPod hashtag. We hope to see you soon!
Hey Travis, I just started watching this new show.
Yeah? What you watching?
Oh, you know, it's like this thing where it's a bunch of magical girls all get transported to a fantasy world where it's an entirely patriarchal society of buff muscle men.
So that's a show, huh? That you're watching. That may literally be the dumbest thing I have ever heard. Want to talk about it?
Yeah, we can do that on our podcast, WTF Anime, the show where Joe and Travis sit down and watch dumb anime and then review it for a bit. It's as awful as it sounds.
Yeah, it's the worst.
I like to imagine that Aisha made herself stop falling by putting her foot back into the floor and then materializing.
That's very good.
Owen,
tell me what the sword blade looks like.
So, again, it is this kind of very broad sword. Silver, and in the fuller, which I looked up sword anatomy to describe this, you're welcome, which is like the vein going up the sword, is the Gaelic word mohir, which is not spelled as it sounds. I will put up a pronunciation guide when this episode comes out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But
what does it mean?
It means mother.
Aww.
Yeah, I know.
So let's focus on Owen here for a minute. The door slammed shut in front of you.
I guess I'm chopping down a door to save students and Aisha.
I mean, Friday graduated, so she's not technically a student anymore.
He didn't even teach her, but still there's like the intrinsic protective nature of her being a student.
She's basically still a baby.
Okay. I guess give me a kick some ass roll there, because that way you can also use your magic and everything and just really go at it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going... Huh. I guess for the reasons he's doing it, narratively, going sword first, which is his mother's compassion, makes so much sense.
Oh my God.
So I got an 8.
Yeah, so it's going to work. So of course it is. It's a door. What you weren't really expecting from a door was for the door to bleed as you chop through it.
Oh, fuck.
Huh. This and is good-ass sword.
Yeah, it's real good. As kind of the two, like, cleaved halves of the door just kind of drop to either side of you, inside the house is not the house you saw a second ago. Inside the house is, well, you describe it as the inside of a mouth.
Did we get lantern fished?
Heck.
I was going to say we're in that Monster House movie.
Yeah.
Also that. 'Tis the season. I mean, come on, guys. I threw one of the Shining Twins at you. Come on.
I'm in love with it. I love it so much.
To be fair, I figured out she was bad, but didn't have any time to communicate it.
She was not waiting for anyone, really, on this occasion. So let's switch back over to the other three. So the door slammed shut behind Friday and Cole as they both got pulled into the house, locking Owen out. What are y'all going to do?
I'm going to attack her.
Yes.
I'm going to just run forward and slash.
Yes. All right. Kick some ass for me.
Mm-hmm. I rolled a 12 and I have a +2.
Oh, holy God. Shit. Okay. So here's the thing. we've done this before. See, out of character here for a minute. Alice likes to roll really well on killing my monsters. I'm really happy that she doesn't have a grenade launcher today.
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to blast a grenade launcher.
You got the 12 plus, so you can choose any of those options on that sheet. Which one are you going to do?
I'm going to choose double the normal harm.
Yeah, I kind of figured you would. So what is the normal harm that your sword does?
It's 2. Let's see. So the sword is 2 harm hand messy.
Okay. So you're doing 4 harm to this perfectly innocent spookums. Great. All right, so she screams, and your sword is like, it chops into her. And we're going to cut just real quick, like a real quick reaction shot, back over to Owen. Owen, a scream rips out of that house. And then we're back inside. So, Friday, Cole, what are y'all doing?
Well, I imagine first thing that I want to do is not be prone, so I'm going to have to scramble to my feet.
Uh-huh.
And then, positionally, where am I in spatial relation to our sweet cannibal ghost?
You're maybe just a couple... Aisha is directly behind her now with a sword in her. You are maybe a couple of feet behind Aisha, down the other end of the hall from the door, and Friday is right up against the door.
Okay, I think I'm going to have to kind of swing around so that I might have a clear shot at the ghost. I was going to blow open the door, but there's a Friday in the way, and I also don't want to light an Aisha on fire, so I'm going to try and get an angle on the ghost where I might not tag one of my friends.
Okay, yeah, you can get there. Let's say because of the size of the room, that's what we're going to have you do right now, is your positioning.
Yeah, because I also had to pop up from prone, which, you know.
Yeah. Cool. So, Friday, what are you doing?
I think Friday's got her hands in her brass knuckles, and she's going to punch that ghost in the face.
Yes.
Punch a ghost.
So that's kick some ass. That's a 9.
Okay. Cool. So you're going to deal some damage. They're going to deal some damage to you, which, Aisha, you took 2 points of harm from her.
Okay, reduced to 1 because I have armor.
Yes, you do. So, Friday, how much damage do your brass knuckles do?
They do 1 harm. Okay. And stealthy, yeah.
Cool. All right, so you just get a solid hit on this ghost. What are your brass knuckles made out of? Are they just literally brass knuckles?
I think I might have established that they were just brass. I don't think I thought of them as anything else.
Okay. So first up, Aisha.
Mm-hmm.
I misspoke a minute ago. Your attack didn't do 4 damage. It did 6.
Oh.
Because you're using a mortal world weapon.
Uh-huh.
Which you're used to it feeling heavier because you've been, you know, mostly incorporeal dealing with swords your whole life. So you didn't really notice a change. And Friday, you're not noticing a change to your attack. But as you swing and connect, Friday, it does more damage than you think a brass knuckle should do. So she's actually taking 2 harm from this.
Nice.
Is it just like the scene out of the Moon Knight comic where he runs out and punches a bunch of punk ghosts?
So I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, but yes.
I just really want a Moon Knight show, guys. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Punch a ghost.
Yeah, just punch a ghost. So as the ghost is kind of flailing, she is going to slash at you, Friday, and you're going to take 2 harm from her wicked, now she's the girl from the ring claw hand things. But at the same time, like, her skull just kind of crumples. And as she claws you and as her skull just kind of breaks, she just kind of goops. She just kind of collapses into a pile of goo. And all three of y'all are going to be kind of snapping back to reality here a little bit. Y'all aren't in the inside of a very nicely appointed house anymore. Y'all are in kind of the entry throat of a big fleshy maw. And there's not a door at the end of the hall anymore. There's just kind of an opening, and you can see Owen with a very big sword standing there. And Owen, you can see them now. And the house is screaming.
He will take a moment to look over his shoulder and kind of swipe the sword to get the blood off in the most anime way possible. And, like, wink at the three of them.
Wrist flick.
Before, like, tearing into a flesh house.
Okay. So what are you doing? Like, what are you actually doing?
I mean, this is a thing that was not brought to my attention that might exist ever. So he views it as an abomination against magic and otherwise. So he's, like, attacking a house.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I mean, roll some kicks some ass. Let's see what happens.
I love the way you said that. That's...
Please fail.
Wow. Aisha... Sorry. Alice, please? My son? Yes. He just wants to stab a house? We don't have to get aggressive about it?
Listen, I want to know what happens when you fail to attack a house.
Aside from embarrassment?
Yes.
How badly did Owen fail?
He didn't. He rolled an 8.
Okay.
Aw.
So you just, like, kind of step in and stab one of the fleshy walls, and there's a scream again. But also, something whips down from the ceiling and just slaps you on your face. So you're gonna... Oh. Joe, did we decide what harm your sword does?
You didn't send me it, so I just assumed it was the same as a sword, which is 2.
Okay.
But it has magic artifact silver. As well as hand and messy from the tags.
Okay, so you're doing some damage to the house, and the house does some damage to you. You're getting 3 points of harm inflicted on you by what can best be described by the rest of you as just kind of like a little fleshy proboscis that just kind of slaps down from the ceiling.
That's nothing.
The house is a flesh chandelier, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
My sweet boy is kinda... good. He has armor.
All right.
Qual, are you okay? Aisha will run to Qual. It's probably still, like, half sitting.
Oh, no, I'm up because I was trying to position to fire on the cannibal ghost girl. But now that I realize we're in a giant, you know, the mouth of a house... I guess we'll call it. Yeah, that'll work. Cole's got a little bit of panic setting in. He's like, we should get out of here. And
you're probably right.
I hard agree. Please.
Not probably. Go. Move.
Yep. You guys start getting away. I'll break its escape.
The house is escape?
Mr. Owen.
I think we should all leave.
Mr. Owen, I understand... You want to protect? It's kind of what you do, but I think I'm in the best position to escape here if I have to.
I mean...
Cole is intending to exit the house and deal with getting rid of a house the only way he would really think to, which is burn it to the ground.
Fuck yeah.
Yay! Okay, so you're going to use some magic then, Cole?
Oh, hell yeah. As soon as I get outside and I can light it up, I sure am.
With the rest of us still in it? We haven't left yet.
You should probably take my advice.
Friday is right on his tail, for sure. She's out. She hates it.
Good. Okay. Owen and Aisha, are y'all still arguing about who's going to be the hero, or are y'all running?
Get out of the house mouth, guys. Come on.
Basically, as soon as anyone is out of the house, like, he is doing an ice wall just to, like, close it off from its most direct approach to all of us.
Okay.
Okay.
Because that's what he do.
So Aisha was still arguing with him.
Does Owen just, like, shrug and then ice wall her in?
No.
She'll figure this out. It's fine.
Like, Owen is backing away and telling everyone else to get out of the way so that he can close it off.
Backing away into or out of the house? Important question.
Away from the house.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
The safe place.
Yes, that makes sense.
As much as Owen wants to protect people, he doesn't want to die. He has a Mallory at home. He would be very sad.
Oh. And also a Rath who would be very annoyed. Okay, so Aisha, you're leaving the house too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everyone's out of the house. Owen, you're throwing up your ice wall?
Yep. I should roll for that, shouldn't I?
Yes, you should. Yes, you should.
Yeah, it's a kick some ass roll. So I get a bunch of options off that. Ooh. Ooh, buddy. So 13.
Cool.
Dang.
So since it's a kick some ass roll, I'm basically creating an ice wall that is, and since I rolled a 13, maybe I can take some narrative decisions here, that it is as tall as the house and basically kind of surrounds it in a circle, kind of cutting off fleshy proboscises that hit me earlier.
It's very good. And you hear some impacts almost as soon as you get it up. Something is thumping into it on the other side. Cole?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about this use magic, burn the house down thing you're doing here.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to try to gather as much of that fire that Cole is so used to using, because I don't think he's quite ready to go back where he went using magic last time. And aim at the base of the house and just see how much of it I can light up at a go.
Okay. Roll for it.
It is surrounded by an ice wall right now.
Soon to be a steam wall.
I mean, yeah. Like, I've frozen and contracted the air. Cole will expand it rapidly, and the whole house will explode. This was a great tag team move.
Totally planned.
I mean, I love every part of this. I want to see Cole roll real fast to determine if that's actually what gets to happen.
All right. Here we go. That's a 12.
Yeet.
Dang.
Do y'all want that to be exactly what happens?
I mean,
I'm open to suggestions or arguments. Go for
it,
guys.
I'm open to yes.
I'd like it to not be entirely dead, but otherwise, go ahead.
Okay. Mostly exploded.
However y'all do this, you four are going to be safe and fine. So, Cole and Owen, why don't y'all two kind of narrate how y'all's magic is going to interact here and what exactly is going to happen to this poor innocent ghost house.
Oh boy, it's going to be so weird, and Owen is going to have questions later.
That brings me up to another point I need to ask Cole real fast. Cole, is this all hellfire, or is there some shadow in there too?
You know, I think now that it's out of the box, there might be, like, it looks like fire, but...
Is it a little blue? Is it a little blue?
It's a little wrong. Maybe it's a little blue. Like, it's been shaded differently than what should be. So,
what,
you know,
if...
like, so, some Hades kind of fire.
Can I make a suggestion about the fire?
Uh-huh. What absolutely.
If the fire casts a shadow?
Hmm. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. That.
Yes. Okay. So that's, so describe what happens here. Let's, so there's an ice wall up. Everything's kind of cold and tingly. What happens when this fire just happens, Cole?
All right. So I'm going to hurl my hands forward and in each hand, a huge ball of this fire that's not quite right is going to streak towards the house. And one of them happens to hit Owen's ice wall. And have you ever seen ice that's been super rapidly heated and it does in fact kind of explode? So it's exploding and melting at the same time. So we've got like shrapnel that's turning into steam. So it's a big splashy loud effect. Just ripping through the house.
Together, okay. Together, Cole and I make a Todoroki.
That's fair. That's fair. If we just stitch ourselves together, we are one badass, soon-to-be superhero.
Okay. So, fire and steam and bits of ice just rip through this house. There's a lot of screams coming from it, and eventually parts of it just fade, and parts of it just kind of crumple, and when it's all said and done and the steam and smoke clear, what's left is kind of just like the foundation and like the front porch and a few bits of wall. And in the middle of it, if y'all approach, like, all the fleshy bits are gone. In the middle of it, like, the floor is caved in a little ways. And just kind of floating is an orb. And there's, like, a crack running down it.
Wait. I'd like to try something. Can I try something, Mr. Bainbridge?
Oh, boy. I mean, we know where to... that orb came from, so if it's anything to do with that, like, let me know and give me clearance on that, because that is some shit that we need to deal with.
Okay. You can... I'd like you there, too. You can walk by me, but there's just something I'd like to try. Just... I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if it'll be useful.
Okay.
But even if it isn't, it will be... just.
We'll keep an eye on you. Good.
Aisha will walk towards the orb.
Mm-hmm.
As she gets close, she's going to talk to it. Just go. So, when you ate the ghosts, you sucked all their energy, right?
It kind of pulses a little bit.
Was that something like this? And she's going to put her hand next to it. And I'm going to use my life drain attack.
Yes!
Oh, shit!
Aha!
Okay, roll it up for me.
Uh-huh. I'm going to use luck.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please. Oh. Listener, she rolled a 4, so she's using luck to get just a 12.
Yeah.
All right, so what is this?
I want this to succeed real bad.
Yeah.
So.
Can you read me the life drain attack? What is it? What does the book say it does?
The book is real vague, because what it says is one harm, intimate life drain.
Okay, cool. So what's going to happen here is, one, the harm you suffered goes away mechanically. That is healed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what else happens. And you and I, Alice, are going to talk about this later. You feel something... kind of just surge into you. Like, has Aisha used this before?
I think, okay, This is going to be probably kind of painful.
Yeah.
But she's obviously never used it on people.
Okay.
But I think her dad, to test out how useful she would be, made her try it on successively larger animals.
Okay. Aww. Okay, so oh, you buddy. You remembered you kind of got a rush of energy every time you had done it before. Kind of depending on the animal, it was a greater or lesser effect. This is different. This is the most power you have ever touched in your life. This is like a nuclear reactor screaming inside this ball. And you go to do your life drain on it, and you feel a rush. Your wounds heal. All of them heal. And you're going to get another mechanical effect. Your luck counter now goes to 8 permanently.
Yo.
And something else is going to happen. Right now, I don't know that it's manifesting. Alice and I are going to have to talk about this later. I think Aisha now has a passenger in her head.
Oh, great.
Welcome to the club.
Not
necessarily like a bad possessive thing. It's just one of the souls that got eaten is now like their consciousness pattern, because I don't know who it is yet. Their consciousness pattern is just kind of hanging out inside Aisha for a little bit. This is fine. Aisha, you're a little preoccupied. Owen, did you walk up there with her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I wanted to make sure that there was, in the best way of saying this, nothing going wrong considering what I, Joe the person, know now.
Yeah. So you see her wounds heal. You see just kind of like a flush of power in her. And then you see the orb start to crack a whole lot. Just, it is going.
Before it breaks entirely, I want to step up to it and just go, "Hey, Milo, fuck you."
Okay. Cool. A bunch of things are about to happen at once here. The first thing that's going to happen, as Owen says that very dramatic thing, Aisha, in the back of your mind, you hear a whisper. Just go, "But Milo didn't do it." And then there's kind of a rushing of wind, and all four of you are on top of a car about 100 or 200 feet away from the house and kind of floating in midair. And the chauffeur is sitting up there with y'all, and he just goes, "Man, I got y'all out of there at the last possible second." And then you'll see the orb crack. And the entire, like, lot that the house was on is gone. And in its place is a towering cloud of flame. And y'all can all see, like, wisps of souls just kind of swirling around it. Like that scene from Ghostbusters when the EPA shuts down the containment grid. It's that. That's what's happening right Fine. Now.
I want to ask, does Aisha look any different to the rest?
Do you want Aisha to look any different?
Probably just, I feel like her original glow, which probably might not have been as present here as it would have been in the, for want of a better word, material plane, was kind of like a teal turquoise kind of color. It's probably kind of shimmering now and probably stronger, I imagine.
Okay, so it's actually like showing up here now.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. She is now a super ghost, more or less. We're going to have to work out what that means. I mean, I think mechanically what it means is you're going to get a level up, but We're gonna have to figure out some other things. So,
hair goes blonde, right? Super ghost.
She's attained super ghost level god.
You keep your Dragon Ball out of my grayscale, Joe.
Her ghost levels are above 9,000.
But that's impossible.
So you four are watching the ghostly equivalent of just a massive explosion happening. And the chauffeur's sitting there with you and just goes, well, that's one way to solve a problem, I guess.
Did any of the souls make it out? I mean, was that just like a whole...
Oh, it was a containment field, so all the souls are out. I don't... Not, most of them aren't going to be able to maintain their consciousness after that, so they're moving on kind of whether they wanted to or not, really. But that's not on y'all. That's on the people who did it.
Aisha looks at Owen and says... One is fine.
On what?
One ghost.
I mean, I get that from stylist.
Not me. I'm fine anyway, but one other. I know that much.
There's a moment on Owen's face where he's kind of working through, like, the best way to respond to that. And he just,
and while you're...
just kind of looks at Aisha and says, I mean, tree's a crowd, right?
Aisha smiles.
While they're having this interaction, I'm going to kind of elbow Friday and be like, Aisha's way too fucking polite for almost getting eaten by a house. I mean, right? I'm not wrong here, right?
No. I'm, like, about to lose it, honestly. Like, I'm not...
Oh, already lost it.
Yep.
On the way here. Got the t-shirt. Enjoy the ride, man.
Friday, you hear kind of like a crackle of static kind of in your ear. And you hear Ben just go, oh, man, you've had an exciting day.
Yeah, I sure have.
Owen said some weird stuff way earlier about me saving his life, and I'll totally try to explain, but first, I have a bit of a gift for you, Friday.
I'm gonna ask you about that very soon, but I will not say no to a gift. What's up?
Hey, pull out that communication rock.
She does discreetly.
So there was just kind of a couple of glyphs on part of it, like on the top of it. And mm-hmm. when you're looking at it and you flip it over, you notice there's another set of glyphs and they're in a different language. And
ooh.
Yeah, well, the one that you're kind of currently using is kind of glowing like a kind of a green color. The other glyphs are kind of a pale blue.
What are these?
Well, you lost your memory about what happened, I'm guessing, but the guy who runs this place was real impressed with you, and he said he'd like to be able to talk to you from time to time, if that's okay. So, if you ever want to talk to... Oh, wait, hold on. I have to give you another gift that I wasn't going to give you for a while, but it's going to be really painful and it's going to hurt a lot.
Sorry? Excuse me?
It's a gift. I have to cross your mind over with your mind in the future to let you know some things that would you just wouldn't be able to hear otherwise.
I mean, okay.
So there is a burning that's kind of just all through Friday, and for a minute your vision is kind of... You're seeing two places at once. One is you sitting on top of this car with your friends, hovering in the air in the spirit realm, watching a house just annihilate itself. And the other is of a brightly lit coffee shop. There's a laptop in front of you, and the date at the bottom corner says December 31st, 2031. And then that image goes away, and Ben just goes, okay, so those other runes let you talk to Hades, Lord of the Underworld, who until this very second you would not have been able to comprehend existed. Oh, and you can't tell anybody, and I'm probably going to get in trouble.
What? She doesn't, like, she, like, can't really form words. It's, like, hard for her to comprehend. Like, she can comprehend it because of this thing, but, like, I don't know. She's like, what? I don't understand. Holy shit.
Ben just goes, yeah, I know. We'll practice. We'll talk. It'll be fine. And the chauffeur just kind of reaches an arm around. It just, like, taps Friday's shoulder. And his voice just kind of joins the conversation and goes, little angel boy, you're not supposed to be talking while they're here on this mission. That was kind of part of the deal. And Ben just shuts up.
Friday, like, puts her head in her hands like she has, like, a really bad splitting headache. Oh, oof.
I guess Owen clocking that will put another arm around Friday and just go, hey, you did good.
Aisha would like to do that too, but I imagine her touch kind of burns a bit at the moment.
Yeah, it's a pretty intense feeling. Like, you're kind of radiating a little bit in a lot of means.
You okay, Friday?
I'm fine. I just got a headache for a second. I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
So as y'all are just kind of having a hug fest, we're going to go ahead and pan out as the chauffeur stands up and says, all right, well, I'm going to be able to express lane y'all back to the real world and take y'all right back over to Shandy's. So thank y'all much. I understand there's something of a favor exchange as kind of payment for a job well done. So I'll tell you what, all four of y'all, y'all get one from me or any Reaper you come across. You get one. If you need help, just call it out. And
Owen,
he's going, yeah.
Owen, like, just kind of bites his lip. The thing he's directly thinking of is the same promise that Shandy made earlier. And I think that just kind of plays in his head of that whole moment and kind of takes a look at the Reaper, but doesn't really say anything.
The Reaper's going to give you a significant look too and just kind of like nod his head at you. And then he's going to like just drop through the roof of the car into the driver's seat. And the car's going to wheel around, and as it's driving, reality underneath y'all ripples and warps, and color starts to bleed back into it, and y'all are zooming over Port Avalon back in the mortal world, heading down to Shandy's, and that's where we're going to call it.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.